says that it is possible for Christians to participate with demons by sharing in idolatry.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's not hard for believers to get caught up in worldly values.
So when you worship, when I worship what the world worships, then we become tools in the hands of the devil and open ourselves up for either oppression or possession.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Most Christians think they'll never be tempted to worship idols. But idols aren't just statues. So today, Dr. Evans helps you discover some of the surprising things that may be separating you from the Lord. Let's join him.
When we talk about demonization, I want to look at four things. First of all, demonization is the occupation of a human by one or more evil spirits. It is when one or more evil spirits occupy a human being in order to exercise various levels of control over a person. They want to control physically, psychologically, and of course, spiritually. Our central passage is Mark chapter 5. The story of the demoniac, Jesus Christ is validating his messiahship by means of the demonstration of his authority. He comes upon a situation in verse 2, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man met him from the tombs with an unclean spirit. That is a demon. You're going to discover that this man who meets him is totally controlled. In fact, Luke 8 verse 30, you don't have to turn there, says a demon had entered him. Because their ultimate goal is to move from merely oppression to possession, to make life miserable enough that you open up enough so that they take completely over. The goal of demons in this definition is to consume the personality of a person in order to bring it into subjection to their goals and their agenda. All demons aren't equal, like all people aren't equal. Some are more wicked than others. We'll look at it later, but Matthew chapter 12, verses 44 and 45 says that when one demon leaves, he goes out and finds the brotherhood who are more wicked than he, and they all come back. So once one gets in the house, it's like having a roach on your hands. They multiply fairly quickly, and they operate in packs or groups. And so we find this demoniac who is now under the control of demons. So let me review the definition of demonization, ultimately reflected in demon possession, which is the goal, is total occupation. They want to occupy the premises. Let me hit you with something here. Many things that go under the name of illness is merely the outworking of demon possession. Let me say that again. Many things that go under the title of being merely an illness is really, in fact, demonic oppression or ultimately possession. And being able to distinguish the two is very important because you might spend a lot of money treating the wrong disease. Now remember, Satan is the great counterfeiter. He doesn't want you to know that your problem is either not purely physical or purely psychological or purely spiritual. He wants you to think it's something else because he does not want you to see him for what he really is. And so many of the things, schizophrenia, manic depression, even in the Bible, blindness, dumbness, that is the inability to speak, were tied to demonic activity. And when you discover that, it changes your view. Now, demons are not the only reason why these things occur. These things can occur simply for physiological reasons. But the concern of the Bible is, make sure you've weighed both sides, because a doctor may not be the only thing you need. Two, let's look at the distinctives of demonization. What does a demon-possessed person look like? How do they act? This man is indwelt by a demon, verse 2. He has had an unclean spirit in him that meets Jesus, and notice where he's hanging out, verse 2 says, he's hanging out in the tombs. Because demon, Satan, always operates in the realm of death. Remember, the ground was going to be cursed. The snake would crawl on the ground because it was used as the means of deception, and man would die and go back to dust. All of that was happened because of the deception of Satan in the garden. So we ought not to be surprised that the hangout of this demon-possessed man is in the tombs. Because that is the realm of demonization and of demonology. One of the characteristics of demon-possessed people is an increase in physical strength. Verse 3 says, and he had his dwelling place among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Now, the reason is simple. There is an unusual strength because you're using or borrowing from the strength of an angel. Because remember, demons are fallen angels. The reason a demon-possessed person can appear to have supernatural strength is because they do. They have strength of an angelic being operating inside of them. Now, many of you have seen this and didn't know that you were looking at it. I don't know if you've seen people who get high on angel dust. I don't know if you've seen people who get high on certain kind of drugs and appear out of nowhere to have the strength of many men. You say, well, that was drugs. We're talking about demons. Well, what most people don't know is that demons ride the backs of drugs. Bible says it. That drug addiction is one of the mechanisms that they use to infiltrate and possess people. So that when people take drugs, they're not just taking drugs, they're taking demons. So this man had unusual strength that was being reflected in his possession. Secondly, he had fits of rage, verse 4 lets us know, because they did get the shackles around him. So evidently there were times when he was more docile than other times. The problem was unexplained outbursts combined with what appeared to be supernatural strength. Verse 5, and constantly night and day among the tombs and in the mountains he was crying out and gnashing himself with stones. So we've got a suicidal, manic, depressive person. But remember, this is not because of life circumstances. This is because he is being controlled by someone else, an unclean spirit. Not only that, but he has a split personality. Please notice verse 6 and 7. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, do not torment me. On the one hand, he's running to Jesus and bowing. But at the very same time he's bowing to Jesus, he's saying, stop tormenting me. That's a contradiction. You can't run to the person who's tormenting you, bow in homage to them, and at the same time be tormented unless you're dealing with two realities operating out of the same person. You're dealing with a form of schizophrenia. And the reason that you're dealing with that is that there is another being inside that has made itself at home that is influencing this person, so there is a dual problem. Here's one. A resistance to spiritual things. Verse 7 says, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. He asked Jesus to leave him alone, which means he knew immediately, without any form of contact, the true identity of who Jesus was. And that is because the demons know who Jesus is. So when Jesus shows up in an environment, it makes the environment uncomfortable if the environment is inhabited by demons. So there was enhanced spiritual sensitivity. Verse 9, and he asked him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. Another voice took over. Another voice took over. You say, how can that many beings get in one being? Answer, they're spiritual beings. So they don't have the same space limitations that you and I are familiar with. But this man was being possessed and oppressed by a legion. And that is our name. God says, what is your name? The answer is, our name is 6,000 plus. We are legion. So the demons speak through him. The other thing is transference. Verse 10. And he began to entreat him earnestly not to send them out of the country. The demon saying, don't send us to another neighborhood. Why would the demon say to Jesus, don't send us to another neighborhood? Because demons operate by assignment. If you've been following our series, they are a governmental regime that are assigned responsibilities. So evidently they have been assigned by Satan to this particular country. So they did not want to have to undergo whatever discipline was involved for them not for failing in their responsibility. So they want to stay in the country. Therefore, there is a big herd of swine feeding on the mountain. So there's a bunch of pigs. And the demons begged him saying, let us enter into the swine so we may enter them. Send us into the swine that we may enter them. Well, swine were unclean animals. So it's no surprise that the demons want to go into swine because they were viewed as unclean. He gave them permission and coming out, the unclean spirits into the swine and the herd rushed down the steep banks into the sea. About 2,000 of them and they were drowned in the sea.
Well, Dr. Evans will point out some important truths we can learn from this story when we continue our message in just a moment. Right now, though, I want to tell you about two great resources we've paired together to help you dig deeper into what angels are all about. The first is a CD collection containing all 6 full-length lessons in Volume 2 of our current series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. But we're also including the study guide that goes with it. It's the perfect way to deepen your personal devotions or to dig into this important topic with your care group, Bible study, or Sunday school class. Best of all, for a limited time, you can get this Angels Study Package as our thank you gift when you support our work right now with a contribution of any size. Now, this offer is only available for a limited time, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on, but right now, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
2,000 pigs are grazing, the demons enter them, and the swine go berserk. So crazy the swine become that they go drown themselves. That shows you what we're dealing with. And all of them were in one man. Enough demons were in one man to make 2,000 pigs commit suicide. So you can imagine how destroyed this man was. But the point here is that they can transfer. They can go out of one and into another, lickety split. But notice also they asked Jesus for permission. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son possessed with the spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. And I told your disciples but to cast it out, and they could not. Now, this young man would have been said that he had what? Epilepsy. He just threw himself into a fit. Verse 20, and they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling and foaming at the mouth. And he said to his father, how long has this been happening to him? He says, from childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father cried out, saying, I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's good news. I like that verse. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. Do you believe? The man answers, kinda. Basically, that's the answer. He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. He says, I believe, but I got some unbelief mixed up in here. Okay? God responded to the belief and overran the unbelief because he had enough belief to come to the right person. And after crying out and throwing him, verse 26, into convulsions, it came out and the boy became as much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up. He got up, and when he came to the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said to them, because this kind only comes out by prayer. Some demons not going to jump because you show up. He says, this kind, you got to be in contact with the Father. This boy just looked like he had a problem of epilepsy. He had a problem of demons. Now, can a person have epilepsy without having demons? Absolutely. But are there people who have epilepsy that's tied to demons? Absolutely. In other words, demons can manifest themselves in things that you would normally view as purely physical or purely psychological or maybe even spiritual, but not necessarily demonization, possession, or oppression. So, demonization is defined as the occupancy, since that is their goal, of evil spirits to exercise their agenda through your person. They become squatters in the house of your body. They clearly reveal themselves through physical or psychological means that often can get confused and not be seen as demonic. So this is real, because if you remember our thesis, this world is run by angels. See, you have to understand that everything derives from that. This world is run by angels. Now, what has Satan gotten us to do? He's gotten us to forget angels. And when you forget them, they keep running it. Because you don't deal with anything you forget. Let's look at the third thing. What are the devices or the vehicles or the means that demons use to get in? What do they do? How do they do it? Well, let me tell you one of the main ways that demons get in is idolatry. Because remember, when we went over demons, we discovered that behind every idol is a demon. There's no such thing as a non-demonic idol. Whatever it is that is God to you, that you worship, sets up an idol, and behind idols are demons. And that's why 1 Corinthians 10 is so important. Turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 16, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Now this introduces the issue of communion. And as most of you know, I have a very high view of communion because I don't just believe it's just something that you're remembering in the past. You are participating in the life of someone. You are sharing in the actual spiritual life of Jesus Christ when you take communion. And it's not just this, chew on a cracker and drink some juice. It is participating in a life. He says, what do I mean, verse 19? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything or that an idol is anything? No, the thing you're worshiping is nothing. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who? To demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. Now, here's what's important about this. What's important is that he's writing to Christians. And he's telling Christians, when you participate with the non-Christians in their idolatry, it is like taking bread and the cup that you take for communion, and instead of participating in the life of Christ, you are participating in the life of demons. And now you understand James 4, friendship with the world is enmity against God. So when you worship, when I worship what the world worships, then we become tools in the hands of the devil and open ourselves up for either oppression or possession. And far too many Christians are being oppressed, and it has nothing to do with their circumstances, is that they have opened themselves up to demonic presence. And the demons are oppressing them and their circumstances. Another way that demons come in is in the occult. that can be tied to idolatry, but it's in the occult. Astrology, worshiping the heavens, looking up your horoscope, visiting palm readers, all of the above. You thought it was harmless. It is not harmless because it is the vehicle by which Satan enters in. In the Bible, the sorcerers in Egypt, remember when Moses went to Egypt and he did his miracles? They did magic, what we would call magic. The sorcerers or the magicians from Egypt came out and imitated and duplicated what Moses had done. Why? Because they had false gods. And remember, behind every false god is the demon. And what those guys did, they really did. Because Satan has real power. He's a spirit being. So sometimes you look at this stuff and say that's a trick. Maybe not. Maybe that was a satanically empowered person who is doing satanically empowered things in the name of the wrong god, because they are real beings and they are potent. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came about as they were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Now, why would Paul be annoyed at somebody who's saying these are good guys? Because Paul doesn't want the devil helping out with God's business. That's why. And so he commands them in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And at that very moment, but when her masters saw their hope of profit was gone, this is about money, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the authorities. Any form of astrology, spiritism is condemned and is not to be tampered with. You open up yourself to satanic, demonic presence, therefore oppression, and potentially possession. Back in chapter 8 of Acts, verse 9, there was a certain man named Simon who formerly practiced magic in the city. He astonished the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God." You can't have magic in Jesus Christ.
Dr. Tony Evans, explaining how demons confuse and confine us. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will share more insight on how to break free from the demonic influence that can bring disease and death to your soul. But if you'd like to get the complete full-length version, check with us for details on the lesson called The Domination of Demons. Better yet, you can receive this lesson as a part of Tony's current 2-volume series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering the 6 messages in Volume 2 of this CD series and the accompanying study guide as our thank you gift when you support our ministry with a contribution of any amount. Contact us at tonyevans.org for the details. And while you're there, take a moment to check out Tony's brand new book called Raising Kingdom Kids. Listeners have been asking for this follow-up to the bestsellers Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman for a long time, and it'll finally be available on September 1st. But if you pre-order it now, we'll send it to you just as soon as it's released, along with over $80 in bonus resources loaded with practical parenting help. Take advantage of this special Raising Kingdom Kids offer today by visiting us at tonyevans.org or call our toll-free resource request line at 1-800-800-3222, where we have staff members standing by day or night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans has encouraging news about God's promise to deliver you from the power of demons. So be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.